You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is going to be the fantasy extravaganza here on a pretty special episode of Locked On Vikings. Pretty excited to bring you this one. I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And you can find everything we're going to talk about in the show notes today, including the information to find Andrew Erickson and the fantasy guide from PFF, which we're going to spend most of the show talking about. But first, there was a little bit of news on Monday. Monday was kind of a tumultuous one. So we'll go over that really quick, and then we'll spend most of the show talking about fantasy football. Really excited for this one, especially because I am a huge fantasy football idiot, and it was very nice to have Andrew come in and tell me a thing or two. So on Monday, we learned about some of the results for the first round of COVID-19 testing in the Vikings facility. This is going to be kind of the first wave of results. I imagine there's going to be some more positive cases around the facility and up all along the roster. But for now, what we know is that Eric Sugarman, the infectious disease like control captain or whatever his title is there, head athletic trainer, he and his family tested positive. So he's now going to quarantine from the facility, as well as a few rookies, most notably Justin Jefferson, but also Tyler Higbee, Blake Brandel, and Brian Cole all tested positive, or didn't quite test positive. They were all moved to the COVID-19 reserve list, and what that means is either that they tested positive or somebody close to them tested positive, like somebody in their family or a girlfriend or a wife or something. So they are basically going to be treated like they have it until they have like no symptoms for however many days and negative tests. There was some whisper about there being a false positive in there somewhere. We can only hope. But basically, they're going to miss the first part of training camp here until they have their two negative tests and they're asymptomatic for long enough to be sure that they're no longer positive, no longer contagious. Or they don't have it at all and they were just exposed and this is just an abundance of caution. And the team isn't like required to disclose which is which, so there's really no way for us to ever know which is which, and we really don't have to know which is which. We're just gonna kind of have to wait until they're back in the fold, and then that's that. The thing about being on the COVID-19 reserve list, though, like those four players, is that you no longer count toward the 90-man roster. So the Vikings, who have to get down to 80 to be able to like do practices the like however they want, are now at 83 players. They were at 87, but those four players don't count anymore, so they're at 83, and there's a whole nother round of testing that is left to go. So there's actually a decent chance that they don't end up having to actually like cut anyone before training camp if three more people test positive, which honestly is pretty likely. So I don't actually know if we're going to see any more roster cuts moving forward. Of course, I kind of hope that there are, because that would mean that nobody else is like testing positive, and that's horrible, but it does change the math for, you know, if you're like trying to think about that. As for the outlook for the potentially infected players, it's obviously like really hard to tell, right? Even if they do all have the disease, it's kind of hits everybody differently. And some people are like asymptomatic and don't really have anything, you know, or they get like a mild cough for a few days and then that's it. Some people, it hits them like a ton of bricks and they have breathing problems, you know, and they like still have even like months later. So it doesn't really make, like, there's not a lot of data on like how COVID-19 will affect you. But for an athlete, that could be particularly devastating, right? If you get COVID-19 and suddenly you can't breathe as well and you have to like adapt to that. So we're going to just kind of have to like keep an eye on all of this. One last thing, and then we'll kind of move on to fantasy land. This is, I think, expected. This is kind of what the league was preparing for. They knew that there was going to be a huge wave of positive tests, and I can already kind of feel like a panic starting to set in, especially among fans, because suddenly out of nowhere, you're getting this like slew of headlines, and a lot of players are opting out. No Vikings yet, but a lot of players are opting out. I think we're up to like seven. Marcus Cannon, I think, is the biggest one that I know of right now, the right tackle for the Patriots. And he's had like Hodgkin's lymphoma. So he's like, I think that counts in the high risk category, right? If I remember. So it makes a lot of sense for him to definitely opt out. But I'm sure we're going to see a lot more players that opt out of the 2020 season and take the stipend and the whole thing we talked about yesterday. But I guess I would like encourage you to not panic. I don't think you need to. It like feels very much like an outbreak, right? It feels like all of these cases are popping up and it feels like all these people are getting infected one after another, after another, after another. But what happened is they just tested everybody. So however many players were already infected right now, now they've kind of are starting to get a handle on how many people that is. And they're all getting reported as like individual headlines because the media is dumb. But, I mean, the NFL said many times, and Sugarman said many times, like, we know there are going to be positive cases. We aren't expecting there to be just, like, no positive cases, and it's all a matter of, like, containing the transfer. And hopefully, if the protocols that Sugarman put in place are sound, and if the plan he came up with works, which, to me, it sounds like it's pretty good at stopping the transfer, and they've, like, sanitized the facility, because he was all over it, right? So they've sanitized the facility, and they've, like, followed all the protocols and the systems that are supposed to be really comprehensive, and if that works, then hopefully that it is an isolated thing and Sugarman quarantines and he is, you know, waits until he's asymptomatic and gets his negative tests, and then that's that, and he can come back to the facility once he's recovered. But really, all we can do is, like, hope the plan was good enough. It is being tested pretty early here, and of course, there's a lot of reason to worry, but I do think that this is kind of, like, in the ballpark of what the NFL was expecting and preparing for, which is, I guess, my way of manufacturing optimism that we can still have a season. Just gotta make sure that everybody's safe, right? I might go a little bit deeper into, like, what it means for the roster and the roster decisions and how it could possibly affect roster battles, right? Like, guys like Brian Cole, you know, being out for 2 weeks, like, kind of changes that safety battle a little bit, maybe. So, like, that could have a lot of effect. And, you know, Justin Jefferson being out is going to give more opportunities to the Tajay Sharps and the BC Johnsons, and then therefore more, like, second-team opportunities to guys like maybe Alexander Hollins or somebody, you know, kind of deeper on the roster like that. It's going to have a big ripple. And I'll talk about all of that maybe at a later date. But for now, I've already gone way long. And the interview with Andrew Erickson is really, really long. So buckle in for a long fantasy thing. We basically talked about every, like, fantasy player, all the way from Kirk Cousins down to, you know, Rudolph and Irv Smith, and even down to like backup running backs and, like, depth players and stuff. So when we come back, we will start that. And I'm really excited to share it with you. It's a really good time. Here with me today is Andrew Erickson of PFF in the fantasy division. Thank you so much for helping my my hopeless dreams of maybe someday winning a work league.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. And yeah, we're gonna review some stuff to make sure that we get you at least into the playoffs this year.
Let's hope so. All right. Listen, I made the championship last year, but I got absolutely smoked.
Did you play Mike Boone? Is that why?
No, it's because I forgot to set my lineup because I was out of the country. All right.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
So you guys, I think it was last week, as this is going to release, last week you guys released a fantasy guide. So first just tell me about, like, what I can find in that'll help me in my upcoming drafts and stuff.
Yeah, the fantasy draft guide on pff.com is filled with tons of great materials, basically everything you need to dominate your draft, kind of sort through everything. So you have the rankings from all the analysts that are in there, kind of looking at some consensus rankings, and you also have tiers. So tiers are really important in terms of breaking down when you should take certain players, because, you know, we have obviously the rankings, but again, sometimes guys are so close to each other when we project them out that they're really so close in that same tier that it's like, hey, like, you just want to get a player from this tier and then, you know, get a player from the next tier and so on and so forth. And you don't necessarily need to reach on a player within the same tier as another player when you could get that other player later on. So kind of like helping with draft strategy there. It also has a player blurb for all of the, you know, the top players, little like two or three paragraphs about, you know, that player's projected output for the upcoming season. It also has a strength of schedule tool, which is really awesome, kind of showing what you can expect from a player, you know, during the beginning of the season, what their playoff schedule looks like. So all the great tools and analysis you need to really kind of start 2020 the right way with your fantasy draft.
Awesome. Yeah, that helps. That should really help throughout the season too, the strength of schedule thing with, like, start and sit and, oh man, you know, got to look and see how bad is the week five matchup for this player. Maybe I should do something. But overall, it kind of seems like don't overthink it. If you've got three players all in the same tier, just make sure you get one of them and don't overthink it and accidentally take somebody from too low a tier too high.
Right, exactly.
Cool. So this is Locked On Vikings. So let's talk about some Vikings players. And I think I want to start with the one that probably goes the highest, assuming he plays and he doesn't hold out and stuff, would be Dalvin Cook. Where is Dalvin Cook going to rank? Where should he go? Is he going to be a first round player? He probably should have been last year. Is that still going to be the case? And let's just assume that a contract gets done between now and your fantasy draft, so you don't have to worry about that uncertainty.
Yes, so Dalvin Cook is definitely a player that should be drafted in the first round. He arguably usually kind of goes within that first five picks. Usually you have kind of like the big four in terms of McCaffrey, Kamara, Zeke, and Saquon Barkley that go in front of him. But before any of his announcement of his holdout, I saw Dalvin Cook, you know, go earlier in drafts. So people are definitely high on Cook, and I think that, you know, all your listeners should be as well. It's just a matter of, you know, hedging your bets in terms of, you know, if he decides to hold out or not. Again, you know, we're not drafting until a little bit later, so we should have more information. But again, Cook is definitely worth a top five pick if he is going to play and all systems are go for him. Because obviously after his season last year, he really showed a lot that he should continue to be, you know, one of those top ranked running backs, especially with the running back approach that the Vikings use. And I expect them to continue to rely on with Gary Kubiak taking over as offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And full disclosure, we're recording this a week or two before this will actually release. So between the time that we've recorded this and the time that the listeners are actually hearing it, super possible that Dalvin Cook has made a deal. This is about the time of year where the Vikings like to get that kind of thing done. So yeah, just for the listeners, if we're behind, just know that this is pre-recorded. But let's talk about the other running back, Alexander Mattison, because if there isn't a deal, he probably becomes a much better option. But even if there is, he's still a reasonable handcuff for like an injury-prone running back that's had plenty of health issues in the past. So is like where should Alexander Mattison be considered with kind of all of the questions and extenuating circumstances that are surrounding him?
Yeah, Mattison, I wrote a piece about Mattison over at PFF.com, kind of highlighting some of the, you know, the top handcuffs for the 2020 season. And Mattison was one of the first guys that I wrote about. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that his efficiency was right on board with Cook last year. You know, they both ranked top 20 in yards after contact per attempt and forced missed tackles per attempt. And I mean, I think Mattison actually showed enough in 2019 to garner more touches in 2020, regardless of, you know, whatever Cook's availability ends up being. So I do think, especially if they do decide to lock up Cook long-term, I think that Mattison is still going to have a role. You know, he had over 100 carries last season. I could see that actually expanding into his second season. But I think for that reason, I think Mattison is still worth a legitimate pick in the mid to late rounds of your fantasy drafts because of the reason that, you know, Dalvin Cook has dealt with his fair share of injuries. You know, and we've seen Mattison play in this offense and be successful. So I like the idea of getting behind Mattison. I actually don't like the idea of actually drafting Dalvin Cook and then drafting Alexander Mattison at the same time on the same team. I know that sounds kind of weird to, you know, you want to protect your high investment in Dalvin Cook. But the way I see it is, you know, if you draft Dalvin Cook and something happens to him with your, you know, your first pick, you know, chances are you're probably going to lose your draft anyway. You know, if your first pick overall goes down, you know, your chances of coming back from it are pretty slim. But the way I look at it is if you draft another running back or something, you want to add Alexander Mattison to your player pool, to your roster. And that way, if Dalvin Cook goes down, now you not only have the player that you originally drafted in the first round, you can now add Alexander Mattison to that player, to that roster. So now you have two potential, you know, stud running backs with Mattison and the other running back you took in the first round that wasn't Dalvin Cook. So that's the way that I look at it. But I definitely think that Mattison should definitely be drafted and people should garner him and put them on their roster. I mean, he was averaging 8.5 touches per game in 13 games last year. So I think he could surprisingly have some standalone upside, even if Cook is still, you know, obviously involved.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the Vikings are going to be a pretty run-heavy team in terms of volume in 2020, and, you know, and setting up their bootlegs and their all of those looks and stuff. They just extended their fullback. They probably plan on being quite a bit of a ground and pound. But let's go to the completely other side of it and talk about Kirk Cousins. Kind of been a fantasy god, even in years where he's like on an 8-8 team and kind of not great, like as an on-field quarterback, even in his worst years, he still will put up a 4,000-yard season and put up a whole bunch of volume and garbage time. Is he impervious to that run-heavy like vibe that the Vikings are going, like that run heavy strategy that the Vikings are going to employ in 2020, because he's such a, like, tends to be such a high volume guy? Or is this going to be somebody that maybe we should look elsewhere at, somebody who's in a more pass heavy offense?
So I'm definitely not going to advocate for Kirk Cousins and drafting him as a, you know, a stud fantasy quarterback. I don't think that's the best strategy, because obviously the quarterback position is really deep this year and, you know, almost every season. But with Kirk Cousins specifically, you know, last year, you know, he only finished as the quarterback 17, even though he was really efficient. Like, that's the thing with Cousins, is he's really efficient with his limited passing attempts, you know, because they do a lot of play action. You know, Kirk Cousins actually tied Lamar Jackson for the most play action touchdowns last season. So Kirk Cousins can definitely get the job done. But the thing that's, it's just scary, is that the bottom could fall out quickly on him with no kind of passing volume to really supplement it. Now, I do expect his volume to go up a little bit more than last year, just because I don't think necessarily that the Vikings are going to be able to sustain the type of running pace that they were last year. I still think they want to run the football, but if they're trailing in more games, if they don't have the lead in as many games as they did last year, then they're just going to have to throw the ball more. But I'm not so sure that's going to come with more efficiency for Kirk Cousins, due to the fact that, you know, he lost Stephon Diggs. And Stephon Diggs was one of the most efficient wide receivers in the NFL last year, you know, leading the NFL essentially in yards per reception. So I'm concerned about that with Kirk Cousins. And outside Adam Thielen, I'm not so sure I trust a lot of his playmakers. Obviously, we saw some good things from Irv Smith Jr., who I like a lot at tight end, but you have a rookie coming in, Justin Jefferson. They signed Tashae Sharpe, wide receiver from the Titans. And it's just hard to get excited about his weapons. And I'm just not so sure he can sustain efficiency with those around him.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we'll talk a lot more about all of those weapons coming up in just a second. Okay, we are back with Andrew Erickson here from Pro Football Focus, fantasy guy here. Plug in the fantasy guide. Of course, there's a link to all that stuff in the show notes. But let's talk a little bit about some pass catchers. We talked about Dalvin Cook and Madison and Cousins, but, you know, Adam Thielen is basically going to be the workhorse of the offense now, right? I mean, Justin Jefferson will probably get a fair share of Diggs's market share, but he probably won't take all of Diggs's market share. So Adam Thielen might really balloon. I mean, is this a year where Adam Thielen can be like a premier fantasy weapon, just based on the fact that the offense is kind of going to run through him in the passing game?
Yeah, I'm definitely on board with Adam Thielen as kind of a number one wide receiver. We have him ranked in the fantasy guide as wide receiver 12, but I mean, I could see him finishing much higher than that. He's going to get all the targets in the offense. We've seen this before with Kirk Cousins. I think it was in their first season together, where Adam Thielen and Cousins were just firing on all cylinders. And it seemed like, I think for like the first 8 weeks or so, you know, Adam Thielen was like the best wide receiver in fantasy football. And that's something that we could see again, potentially, with Kirk Cousins, especially if the Vikings are forced to throw the ball more, if they're not running the ball, if they're not able to, you know, establish the run as often as they want to, and they're forced to play in negative game scripts, playing catch up. Adam Thielen could absolutely smash in 2020. And it's not like he was bad last year either. In the games that he was healthy, he was really, really good. He was wide receiver 8 weeks 1 through 7. He was PFF's highest graded receiver versus man coverage. So again, a really great statistic about looking, okay, this guy's like getting open. He's just not a product, you know, of the offense, of the system, kind of, you know, creating separation from him. He's, you know, beating man coverage. You know, someone lines up man to man and he wins. So ultimately, I just love Thielen. I think that whatever you can do to get him in your draft, especially if you start with a running back heavy approach, you know, going running back, you know, Thielen should be there for you in the third round. And I think that having Thielen as your, you know, first wide receiver, I think you're going to feel really great about your team going into 2020.
That makes a lot of sense. And let's go over to the other side of the formation, maybe into the slot or wherever he ends up. Is Justin Jefferson, I mean, it's always tough to draft a rookie, and usually rookies go pretty late unless they're, you know, Saquon Barkley's or whatever. But is Justin Jefferson, as somebody who is basically unchallenged as the second wide receiver on the Vikings, you know, BC Johnson and Tajay Sharpe might be random waiver wire, whoever's in an injury, but they're not going to challenge Justin Jefferson, it seems, for like the second most routes and targets. is he going to be worth a spot on your roster and a spot in your draft, or should we look elsewhere in that rookie pool to say Jalen Reagor or Henry Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb or whatever?
Yeah. So the way that it works with Jefferson is I'm just concerned about his availability, about playing in the slot if the Vikings decide to deploy, 12 personnel. You know, that's what they did a lot last year, based on their, the players they had available to them. You know, they didn't run a lot of 11 personnel. They didn't run a lot of three receiver sets. So, and that would see Jefferson getting in more reps. So I don't envision them just saying, Tajae Sharpe, you're just never going to play at all. Like, we're just going to have, Jefferson and Thielen, run all the wide receiver routes. It would make more sense if they do decide to run more 11 personnel, then I could see Jefferson playing more in the slot. But, with the 12 personnel, Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr. are also going to be on the field, and they could see time in the slot as well. So for that reason, I'm not so sure he's going to be, the main guy there. And again, I'm just not so sure about, with this offseason, how much faith you can have in rookie wide receivers. Rookie wide receivers in general are pretty tough to bet on, especially their first season, especially early on. So Justin Jefferson is not a guy that I'm necessarily going to be drafting. He'll obviously be someone you want to keep an eye on, if he, starts to, see an uptick in playing time or you start to flash during the season. But I don't think I'm necessarily going to be looking to draft him for the 2020 season.
It's interesting because the coaches and the way that they talk about it, of course, they're going to talk up their draft pick, but they do talk about him as somebody who they can move all over the field, and they've acknowledged like, yeah, the slot's probably best for him, but they definitely aren't going to shy away from lining him up on the outside. And if I had to guess who the second wide receiver is in 12 personnel, I would say it's Justin Jefferson way more often than Sharp or BC Johnson. But the Vikings also rotate plenty, and they'll have plays where wide receiver six is the only wide receiver out there in 13 personnel. So like that'll obviously happen as well. But let's talk about those tight ends in 12 personnel, Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith. Obviously, Rudolph is like this red zone touchdown only, boomer bust type guy from a fantasy perspective, and he just doesn't have the athleticism anymore to really be anything more than like a possession kind of big body red zone guy. And Irv Smith is kind of on the other end of that, where he isn't particularly well suited for the contested catch, big body out, a big hard-hitting safety or anything like that, but he's got all the speed to perhaps create some explosive plays in the middle of the field, or on your own side of the field, and maybe get a little bit more of the yardage. So where do those two compare to each other? And I guess more importantly, where do they rank like in the context of a draft?
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head there. With Kyle Rudolph, you're really going for the floor play. Like, you're not looking for him. He's going to, beat expectations. He's going to, be the lead winner for your team. That's not Kyle Rudolph's MO. Kyle Rudolph has been, really consistent, ever basically his whole NFL career, even from fantasy standpoint. Over the past five seasons, he's never finished worse than the tight end 14. And that's because he's been really consistent catching touchdowns. It's weird to say that, touchdowns are usually pretty fluky, but he's had, it seems like at least four touchdowns every single season, with a couple spike ones of eight touchdowns here or seven touchdowns there. So, and he saw a really big uptick last year in red zone usage when Adam Thielen went down. So I think that's one area of the field that, Rudolph is probably going to continue to see a lot of looks is in the red zone. Now that Stephon Diggs is also, departed from the offense, Diggs led the team with 25 red zone targets last year. So, and Rudolph had 13 of them. But I do think that Irv Smith Jr., he obviously offers the more upside. He's the upside play, and he's probably someone that I would want to target in fantasy football. I think Rudolph, you can get probably off the waiver wire if you're desperate. You're like, hey, I need to start a tight end. But, like, Irv Smith Jr. has the chance to be special, like you talked about, with his athleticism. And he's a player that they can move around a lot. I mentioned that he's potentially could see a lot of time in the slot, weeks 8 through 15 last year, he was in the slot 55% of the time. So he could potentially, draw coverage there. I mean, I think that Jefferson, a lot of people are looking at Jefferson as the locked in number two target, but I think that a realistic threat to that is Irv Smith Jr., who is also a good receiver, and he's already been with the offense for a year. So it would not surprise me at all if we see right out of the gate Irv Smith Jr. actually deliver more receiving production than Justin Jefferson. And I also think that, when you look at the absence of Stephon Diggs as a downfield threat, that's something else that Irv Smith could fill in. You know, Rudolph is not going to be a guy that's going to be running, you know, deep seam routes, or at least I wouldn't, you know, that's not something that would be very effective. But a guy like Irv Smith, who really used that a lot in college, he could definitely be a guy that they try to hurt, you know, hit deep down the field. So I think that Irv Smith Jr. has a lot of upside, and I think that he's worth targeting, especially, you know, with a guy like Kirk Cousins, who's been, you know, really good at targeting the tight end position. You know, last year, you know, with Cousins.
And the Kubiak scheme too.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Irv Smith Jr. definitely has the upside of, you know, making it, hey, like this tight end that I have on my fantasy team actually makes a difference, as opposed to, you know, all right, I have all these tight ends that are all kind of like the same. You know, last year he was third in the team in targets of 20 yards or more. And that was with Diggs still on the field. So I think that he could really fill in as that deep threat, which it sounds kind of weird coming from a tight end, but they're going to need someone to help take some of that top off the ball.
That makes a lot of sense. That is, I think he had a pretty good ADOT too, depth of target too last year, and that was just in his rookie year. And I kind of think that that's going to increase because of like what you said with like the seam routes and a lot of kind of deep overs on the bootleg type plays. That's the kind of thing Kubiak loves to dial up. That's the kind of thing Kirk Cousins really, really excelled at in 2019. So I imagine they'll want to dial up plenty of that and use that Irv Smith speed, get him matched up on a linebacker, make that linebacker chase him all the way across the field. But that is the majority of the fantasy worthy Vikings players. Obviously, there's guys like Tajay Sharp or BC Johnson. We could talk about, you know, Dan Bailey or whatever. But I guess of all of the other tertiary people, is there anybody else worth keeping an eye on once you've kind of considered or gone through Rudolph, Irv Smith, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Cousins, and the two running backs? Is there anybody else who's worth taking a look at in maybe a deeper league?
I would say the only other player that potentially could be make some noise would be Mike Boone in a deeper league. You know, if something happens to, you know,
it's funny, Smith, I don't even know if he makes the team.
Exactly. So it's definitely a shot in the dark with Mike Boone, you know, just because, you know, we've seen him before. He, you know, he has a really, you know, great athletic profile. And, you know, in week 17 last year, I believe he, you know, put up some solid numbers. But outside of that, I mean, there isn't a lot of really fantasy goodness coming from this team, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like, it's okay to not have, it's okay to have like a team that's like concentrated in terms of, okay, like, you know, it's going to be Dalvin Cook, it's going to be Adam Thielen. Like, those are the two top, and that's the reason that those guys are both, you know, arguably, you know, the top, you know, some of the top options at their position, because they're going to get all the concentrated, you know, fantasy points basically. So you can have confidence that, you know, Thielen and Cook are both going to see a lot of production, a lot of touches this season. But I would say, you know, from a sleeper standpoint, I think Irv Smith Jr. is probably your best bet of someone that's kind of flying under the radar, someone you can get, you know, late in drafts, of someone to draft. And one thing I forgot to mention about him, he, you know, he was just 21 last year. So right, he's a crazy, really young tight end. And so his early career production was like, you know, putting him in a tier with, you know, some other tight ends that, you know, in a kind of a very rare, you know, arrangement of players. You know, only five other rookie tight ends in their age 21 season, you know, compiled at least 30 receptions and 300 receiving yards. And that list includes Jason Witten, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, Tony Gonzalez, and David Njoku. So like a really, really great list to be a part of. And again, I mean, at just age 21, I mean, he's got, you know, he's got a lot of growth ahead of him for sure.
Ooh, you got me excited about Irv Smith. I've been singing Irv Smith's. I've been hyping him up all offseason. He's like my breakout guy. Every time somebody's like, who's the guy to watch? He's definitely my guy for all of those reasons. But that is, I think, all the time that I have with you for today. So thank you again for coming on. And before you go, just tell me where I can find you if I want to follow you for information, or where I can find the fantasy guide and how to get it. And of course, all these links will be in the show notes as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for having me on. So you can find me on Twitter at @AndrewErickson_, and everything, all my work, my articles, my pieces are all over at pff.com. And that's where you can find the fantasy draft guide. So make sure you get it. I know that we're going to have some more updates coming in August, but you definitely want to get it now, you know, siphon through it, in July and then get ready for that August update.
Excellent. Can't wait. Hope we have a season to play fantasy with.
Praying every day.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. Again, that's Andrew Erickson with PFF. You can find him at @AndrewErickson_, and you can find all his work at the links in the show notes. Thanks again, man.
Thanks.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this extra long episode of Locked On Vikings. Thank you for sticking around. Again, you can find me on Twitter at @LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. This show is coming back tomorrow, and we'll talk probably in a little bit more depth about the news. We also will know tomorrow. You probably already know when you're listening to this, like who, if Dalvin Cook showed up to training camp. Mike Zimmer did come on KFan and kind of talked like he wasn't sure anymore. So I don't know if he's gonna, but we'll see, right? We'll talk about all that, and we'll kind of see what the first day of testing and stuff looks like. And hopefully by this time next week, we'll have a decent sense of who is actually going to be healthy to start training camp and who needs to be replaced right away and kind of where the roster is at. And then we can maybe have a better discussion about like roster predictions and stuff. So that's all going to be coming up on future episodes of Locked On Vikings. In the meantime, hit me up on Twitter if you want to yell at me for anything I got wrong, because that probably happened in the fantasy interview. I'll see you guys all tomorrow. And as always, Skull.